Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Cam Newton watch is finally over.
I like.
The veteran QB is also reportedly, quote, hungrier than ever.
Cam Newton can move with that football.
There goes Cam. It's
the quarterback draw.
Cam Newton can add a dynamic aspect.
Add to the highlight reel that one. Somersault for the touchdown.
The legend goes on.
Newton sits in and we got a touchdown.
He's going to be difficult to defend.
Oh, that's a little hype video for you Patriot fans. Patriots officially, they make it official yesterday, the signing of Cam Newton. It's the MFers, no Ordway's off this week, and it's the MFers with Wiggy. Wiggy's in the house with the boys.
No, it's actually a new show name.
Okay. What do we call it?
It's called Jockitch.
Jockitch.
I like that. It's Jockitch. I like coming to you live.
Because you know,
in living color.
You know, Jockitch is, it might not always be good for you, but it feels good.
Have you ever even had Jockitch? There's a couple things I've never had that people kept talking about and telling me that be careful. I've never had athlete's foot, and I've never had jockish.
Yeah.
Jock itch.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Jock itch. What is it?
It's just like I guess it's in the jock region, right?
And it itches?
And it itches.
Jock region?
But it feels good. It feels good when you scratch it. You ever have that scratch that when you scratch it, it feels so good, but you know it's.
Like you're almost like a dog. You start moving your leg.
I'll ask you guys, the two football players, because I pretty much from the age of probably 10, 11, 12 years old wore a cup every single time I played. So you play all the time. You guys wear cups when you play football?
I never wore a cup in the NFL. So I never wore a cup in college.
Yeah,
maybe
never
that's
wore
the
a
reason
cup.
Why you don't know anything about jock.
Well, I always went
in the jock area.
I went completely. Some guys wore the tights or the girdle. Okay. The girdle.
Yeah, I wore the girdle.
I was none.
Free balling it?
Yeah, I was free balling.
Really?
Yes.
So you were the guy that in that one situation where you could see through.
Yes.
You were the one where everybody's going, oh, I like him.
And you were also the guy that everybody went for in the bottom of the pile to try to bust you.
Yeah. Well, no, a lot of guys, like some guys wore the jock loo, but they didn't put the cup in it.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So some guys did that.
Keep the boys in place.
Right. Or other guys wore the girdle.
I was a girdle guy.
They didn't put the pads in it because I didn't wear any pads. So they put the girdle and then the pants. I wasn't the fastest guy anyways. So the more I had on, it felt like it just slowed me down. So I try to be as stealth as possible.
That seems so uncomfortable. No. You know what that's like?
That's like
wearing jeans with no underwear.
You know what it's like? It's just
or
like,
when your jeans get wet, it's the worst feeling ever.
Have you ever wore just the girdle and no shorts?
Wait, what?
Have you ever wore just the girdle, like in practice, but no shorts, like over the girdle?
You just run out there like Jerry Rice style.
Yeah, Jerry Rice too.
No, I think that is the lamest look ever.
Right, I tell you what though, I was definitely a guy like in baseball. It's all about wearing cups. I get that, but I couldn't do it like free. I had to go sliders on first. I don't know how guys did that.
What are sliders?
Well, it's like just like tights, like shorts.
See, they have a whole different
Wait
lingo.
A second.
So I, mean, I don't have a clue so what he's talking about.
So you put the girdle on, and then you put the cup over the girdle.
Yeah, you call it a girdle.
Did the girdle have a little home For the cup?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, like just sliders, like spandex, like sliders. So, underneath, underwear, underwear. That's all, long underwear.
You know what he did, Christian? He put, you know, the cup comes in with that little thing, that the little ass out chap thing? Yeah. So he had that.
over my shorts.
Over his spandex shorts.
Over my undies. Yeah.
Weird.
A girdle is just spandex shorts for us, we call it.
Yeah. So we call it sliders. You guys call it a girdle. It's the same damn thing.
So he had his sliders on, and then he puts his cup on. Like, what's...
It seems like, you must have missed the day of how what goes first when you're dressing. It's like somebody walking around with their underwear over their shorts.
Right. Well, I think that's
dude,
what we
like,
did.
Do you know that those go on the inside?
It's
really?
More comfortable.
Lou's got like a thumbtack or something like that on his fork, so he doesn't poke his eye out.
Are you guys really making fun of the term sliders as opposed to girdle?
No.
You wear a girdle, you think girdle is cooler than the word sliders?
It's not I think it's just
more girdle.
Whatever you call it, we're saying that your junk is suffocating. You got three things over you. You got the sliders, you got the cup, and you got the pants.
It's a lot.
It's a lot going on there. Especially if it's hot outside.
Well, it's more
weird.
Comfortable.
And you know,
I couldn't wear the jock with no underwear. Like, people walk around, I couldn't do that.
It all makes sense because their coach dresses up in uniform. Their coach thinks they're a player, so they dress up in uniform. Imagine Bill wearing a football uniform on the sideline and cleats and a helmet. Hold on. Let me get my mouthpiece off. Check.
Is he wearing the helmet, too?
It's so silly. It's the silliest thing. Nobody ever brings this up. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. Why is my coach dressed like me?
Well, could you imagine the NBA coaches wearing basketball uniforms?
In shorts?
Or the hockey coaches wearing full-on uniforms?
Oh, my God.
I tell you what, lot of those coaches would much rather wear baseball uniforms. Those things are comfy. Yeah. That's all I can tell you.
Jermaine Wiggins was the best mutter that we had.
I need to have as little on as possible. So, I just wore football pants, and that was it.
This is where we're at right now, huh? This is where we got jock itch. This is where the show was going to go. This is a little update of, a little foreshadow of what the 4 hours is going to be like right now.
Not better than scratching jock itch, boy.
Me and two freaking tight ends.
If you got an itch, listen to jock itch. Right. You got to scratch it. I've already got the marketing set up for this. What are we doing here?
I think you can get merchandise and everything.
Thanks, Reggie. Right,
let me get to the quarterback here. I'm going to try to keep you guys riled in here, or at least reeled in, I should say.
Yeah, riled in is a different situation.
Yeah, you're already riled up.
You're asking for trouble with that.
You guys see that the details of this deal, we already knew it was $1 million base, 105, 550 guaranteed. Roster bonuses we kind of knew about. It was like 700,000 total, 43,750 per game. But then there's playing time incentives. We were talking about this before, whether it was going to be like touchdowns and passing completion percentage, things like that.
Stuff that Tom had.
Yeah, but no, this is all about playing time, which kind of makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with a guy like Cam and the injury. So it starts at 13% for $250,000. The max he can make in playing time is $3.75 million. He makes that if he plays 90% of the snaps and his football team makes the playoffs. So this kind of makes sense, right? You don't tie it into numbers. You tie it into playing time because there's a little uncertainty, maybe with health or hell.
Well,
who knows? I'll give it a 2% chance that Stidham actually plays over him.
And it motivates him, right? So it motivates him to know, okay, a big part of my money is playing time. So now I got to go out there and prove that I deserve to be the starting quarterback.
You know what else it does, though? Because I had these clauses in my contract. Uh-huh. And I remember when I signed him, it was like, oh, listen, it's basically a guarantee.
Right.
Like, you're going to be there every day, right, Christian? You're going to be there every day. Right. Yeah, I'm going to be there. It's a guarantee. You're going to get your money, likely to be earned.
Right.
Well, what if I get hurt? What if I get a small little
Yeah, that won't happen.
What if I get a quad contusion? I can't freaking run.
That won't happen.
It forces your ass to stay on the field.
Right.
To fight to stay on the field. And it just, let's just say you miss it. You know, they get the money back.
Right.
They basically get they get a refund. Is what they get, and it's
but
all.
See, I would think you guys, like a quarterback, 80-70%, 60%, 90%. Hey, if I'm the starting quarterback, I'm the starting quarterback, and as long as I stay healthy, I'm good. But you guys, if you had these in there, 60%, 50%, 70%, like you could be healthy, and then you start looking at, hey man, why am I not in this red zone package?
Right, right.
Man, well, look at the game plan. Why am I not involved? I'm not going to get my percentage, right?
That's the difficulty of it in other positions, especially for Christian and I who play tight end, right? It could be like, all right, we're only going to go
five wides.
Yeah,
today.
We're going five wides, four wides. The second tight end's not playing as much. But if you're a guy like Cam Newton, I mean, if you're the number one guy, you're going to be on the field all the time. You're going to get that 90%. Other positions, it's a little bit more difficult. So that's why you see some of these other positions. I think I remember I had in my contract, it was like if I had caught like 50 receptions or then it was like 60 receptions. And I'm like, all right, well, even if I'm not playing 90% of the game, as long as I get my 5 or 6 catches, I'm good to go.
Yeah. See, to me, because Gronk had this clause in his contract and lots of – for positional players – it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because, and especially for the Patriots, because they flat out change their point of view and their philosophy every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Every single week. One week, hey, Corey Dillon, we're running it. Sorry. We feel like we should go 4 wides, and you guys are only going to be on special circumstances, some red zones, some goal line. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
right.
You're not, you may get 30% of the snaps. They're important,
right.
Though.
Right. But
hey, so you got to bring your A game.
Right.
Yeah.
And some all of
right,
these,
so listen, this,
some
this,
of these
this,
teams little real quick, though. Some yep. In the NFL, I don't know about baseball, but in the NFL, they'll know, hey, we don't want to give this guy a bonus. Make sure we're limiting his reps. I played with guys that had bonuses in their contracts that they knew the coaches or the owners didn't want to give them that money. So all of a sudden, they went from playing a lot or, hey, I got bonuses in my contract for returning kickoffs or returning punts. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not the return guy. So you got to be careful when you're putting some of these incentives into the contract because they can easily, if they don't want to pay you that money, they can easily manipulate it to where you're not going to get that bread.
Right. All right, so listen, this is how it works. So I'm here with these two tight ends, so I want to even the field. So at 3 o'clock, I'm going to bring in a Paisan.
Oh.
Mike Giardi.
Whoa. That's
right.
4 Paisans,
what?
Lou.
What?
Yeah,
that's
right.
4 Paisans. I mean, here's where you're getting it
well,
wrong.
At least two.
We're all
two
Italian.
And, that's right. I'm 50% Italian, Lou.
Right, well, listen, Mike Giardi, NFL Network, okay? A good-looking Paisan.
So we got
he's
like
gonna,
two he's and gonna, three quarters.
He's going to join the show. He actually talked to an ex-teammate of Cam Newton. We'll let you know what he had to say after the break. And after watching that hype video and seeing this deal, I don't know how anybody doesn't think this guy is a starter. But apparently, we got a national media member who thinks Cam might not even be here week one. You'll hear what he has to say and who that is when OMF with Wiggy continues right after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
There's absolutely a chance he doesn't start week one. There's a chance that Cam Newton's not on the roster week one. The Patriots gave him $550,000 in guaranteed money, which is a rounding error. everything, all of the risk is assumed by Cam Newton in this equation. If they don't like the way that he's working, if they don't like the way that he's adjusting, if he's not as healthy as they expected, they can move on from him without even thinking twice. It's going to be a function of him not only coming in and showing that he's healthy, but he's got to come in and show that he can play and operate in the Patriot way. And I've said this over and over again, it's not for everybody. And he's got to adjust and prove that he can fit in that style.
That was Eric Mangini talking about Cam Newton. I think a lot of those things there are kind of obvious. I don't know if he actually believes any of that stuff will happen. You guys tell me. Here, I guess we're going with Jokic. Jokic today. It's Maloney, Fourier, and Wiggy. No OMF, no MFers. We're going Jokic. You guys tell me. Yeah. Sure. Listen, if this guy comes in and he's hurt, he doesn't pick up the offense, he doesn't work, they don't like his work ethic, then yeah, I guess there's a good chance they could cut him because they don't lose anything. But does anybody think that's going to happen?
No. I would ask the question. I would ask Eric Mangini, do you think Cam Newton is the week one starter? I think everybody agrees that he is. Even guys in that locker room probably feel the same way. That week one, he's the starter. And I would say even going into training camp, he's probably number one on the depth chart.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that because I believe there is some shenanigans afoot. And I know how Bill is, and okay. You know how Bill is. Mm-hmm. And we all know that he's not just going to put his name up there just because he's Cam Newton.
Right.
He's going to wait. I wouldn't be surprised if he put him behind Hoyer, to be honest with you, just because, hey, he just walked in the door.
Just to mess with him?
Just yes. In essence, you don't really want to – you're not doing it to mess with him just to be a jerk, but you're doing it to send a message, to prove a point. To show this is how things go. And Eric Mangini touched on it. Hey, it's not for everybody, Wiggy. You know that some people. I remember one time having Ben Watson having to basically calm him down because he was ready to strangle one of the coaches for challenging him. So it isn't for everybody.
Right, but I think they handle Cam Newton a little bit different, right? And I understand that element of, okay, we don't give the job to people. You have to earn the job. But I think they look at Cam in this situation and they go, okay, you know what, in that room, now, he doesn't see the depth chart. That depth chart is strictly for the coaches. You know, maybe every now and then you walk by and you peek in there, you try to find your name where you are on the depth chart, but they put up this black curtain over it. But I think that Bill's probably going, hey, Josh, we need to do everything we can to make sure we get Cam ready to play. Yeah. Because
But that's different than what I think he's going to do.
Well, you said mental gymnastics, right?
I said I think there's going to be some Jedi mind tricks. I think so let's find out if he can handle quote unquote the Patriot way, which I despise. I hate that because it's basically just people who do their work well. That's really all it is. I do think there is going to be some. Let's see what he can handle. Let's see what he can take.
I agree. Like, but I think subtle.
See how
things.
He will. No. And I'm not. It's not going to be. You know, they're not going to sit there and haze him and cut his hair.
You think they'll go the route of, okay, all right, Cam, you get reps with the third teamers.
I don't think. I think when camp starts and then, okay, you have your install, here's the first play. I think Hoyer is taking the huddle first.
Okay.
I think he takes the first three plays, six plays. Okay. If there's 12, he'll take half.
Well,
and I think he goes in there. And I think when 7-on-7 comes up, Glue, I think he'll take the first rep. So then until a day, 2 days, and they say, "Oh, hey, Cam, you take the ones."
But I think you're wrong to that because I think if you give first reps to Brian Hoyer, okay, that
not Hoyer.
I think everybody
Stidham.
Knows that Brian Hoyer's got no shot. You give the first steps to Jared Stidham. Now I think you've created a little something. But you'd go to Hoyer and say, "Listen, you know, Hoyer's get the first reps. We all know he's a third string guy. Everybody does. We know what the competition is. Or we know what the competition I'm going to try to create with the media is. Right? Whatever. Because I think we all agree it's still Cam." But now you just sort of opened it up like Hoyer's the starter right now, first day of practice. I'm going to let you two kind of fight it out. But I don't think that's going to even be a factor. Well, Cam Newton's the best player. And you heard what Eric Mangini said. Hold on real quick because I want to play Mike. Read Mike Giardi's tweet. And again, he'll join us at 3 o'clock. And you tell me, Mangini's saying, hey, if he comes in and he doesn't work, if he doesn't pick it up, if he's a pain in the ass, you know, then he could get cut. Sure, but does this sound like a guy that's going to get cut or be a pain in the ass? Giardi says in the tweet, in the light of Cam Newton officially a Patriot, have been doing my due diligence on Cam. An ex-teammate told me Cam's, quote, motivated to stick it up everyone's ass. Why? Because that's how he always is. But did his delay in the signing impact him? Quote, he won't say it, but he took names, unquote. So to me, that sounds like a guy, we talked about it before, extremely motivated, that it doesn't matter who's in his way. Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham, it doesn't matter.
All right, and I know, Christian, you brought this up. Sounds like another quarterback.
It is.
Used to wear number 12 around here.
Almost everybody that's on that team. I mean, you think Rodney Harrison,
right,
you know, thought any differently? How many battles did he have to manufacture against guys who he was 10 times better than?
Right. I think the thing, here's where I look at with the Cam situation, right? Bill's got to know, all right, there's no offseason or OTAs or mini camp for me to kind of play around with maybe getting Cam to see how we do things here. So when you go first day of camp, and this is what I remember as a player, for me, it's always about, okay, who am I in the huddle with? I start to look around. If I'm Cam Newton, I start to look around, and I don't see Julian Edelman. I don't see James White. I don't see, you know, Marcus Cannon and Shaq Mason. Now I got some issues. And if I'm in the, you know, so I think it's all about, is Cam in the huddle with the number ones, those guys that he knows, okay, if I'm getting reps with them, and for me it was like who's the quarterback I was in the huddle with. If I'm in the huddle with, you know, Tom Brady, who's supposed to be the starter, then I know there's a chance they expect me to be running with the ones. But if I'm in the huddle with Brian Hoyer, do I feel confident?
Yeah, but if you're in the huddle with Brian, if you just happen to be in the huddle and you're with the first offensive line, then you know they're not screwing with you. They're screwing with the quarterback.
Yeah. And if Edelman's out there, and, you know, that has nothing to do with you. With Hoyer? But he's with Edelman as well. And
right, but that's why I said I always look around. Who's in the huddle? Is it just Hoyer and the first group, or is it Hoyer and then the Scribinis and me and, you know, Gunnar Olszewski? We're all in the huddle. Now I'm like, damn, bro, I need to get over there. I need to get in that huddle. So I think Cam isn't going to be with those guys. When he gets in the huddle, he's going to see Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu.
So let me ask you this. So do you think that, like you said, even have time to mess with him right now? I mean, you got a full camp, you could mess with it. But if Cam Newton's a starter, and I think Bill will try to create this scenario that, you know, I don't know who the starter is. You know he's going to do it with the media. We don't have a starter right now. But do you want to waste time messing with Cam?
See, hold on. I think you're
and putting
using,
him out there with Gunnar?
I think
why
you're
would you
using
do that?
We're using the wrong word. I'm using it because it's I understand what it is. So I
Does
would
he have
say,
time to do it?
Who do you think they need to get the most out of?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton or Stidham? Right. They need Cam to Newton. Get the most out of Cam Newton. So I would say they need to fast-track him on how things are, and to whatever fire it is burning that Mike Giardi is talking about, they need to stoke those flames a little bit more. So there needs to be some sort of, you know, ownership, and they're just not giving you anything. I just don't think they are.
I think what they're going to do, and I agree with you, Christian, but I think what they'll do is first day of practice, let's say there's 10 reps of 7-on-7. You know, I think what will end up happening is they'll say, okay, We're going to give Stidham maybe three of those reps. Maybe we give Hoyer four of those reps, and then we give Cam three of those reps. So maybe Hoyer is the guy that gets just the extra one because he's kind of been around here the longest and that kind of thing. But I almost feel like that's just going to be day one. But then when you get down to like day three, four, five, six, it's going to be, Cam, you're either going to break away from Stidham or you're not going to be the guy that's going to be him.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll see if he has time to mess with his head or not. I think the interesting thing, Christian, we've talked about this before. You've said it, that you never really liked Cam Newton. You didn't like him. You felt like he was dumb, I think was the word. Didn't like anything about him. All right, how about this? So I'm wondering if people starting to have a change of heart of Cam Newton and the way he acts around here. Is it because of the laundry, or are you starting to get to know him a little bit? We'll talk about that next. Here is Jock Itch, formerly known as OMF, continues right after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
Everybody applaud me on Twitter.
Yeah. It's OMF on WEEI.
And I think he'll come in humble. How can you not for playing for a guy like Belichick? It's different than any other coach. The guy's got
six Super Bowl rings, you know, with the Patriots. Well, you say he comes in humble. I don't know if he's got humility behind him. You know, I understand when guys come to New England, they have to be humble. But here's a guy that I'm not so sure he's familiar with humility.
All right, so that was our good friend Steve Burton with Dan Roach. I don't think Steve has actually overcome all the backlash that he got from saying Cam Newton couldn't handle humility.
How does Steve walk up to Cam Newton early in the year? Cam, nice to meet you. Steve Burton. Hey, I'd like to have a sit down with you.
I lost my mind there a month ago or so.
I didn't mean what I really
said. Cam takes names, so.
I don't know about humility. I'm not sure if he's wrong on the humility side of that, but I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen a guy win over a fan base quicker than Cam Newton without even taking a snap. The guy hasn't taken one snap, and this is a guy that from where I sit, I thought he had a terrible personality. I thought he had a terrible reputation. The last 3 years, going back to you talking about routes, going to the year that he didn't finish, going back to last year, just everything about him just looked like something you couldn't back. See, but I will say this, though.
Uh-huh.
He's slowly and surely showing and giving us proof that you can trust him, that you will love him, that you will respect him, that you will back him. Well, listen.
Other than the fact that he signed with the Patriots, because I think that's one reason why he's won most people over here now, because Bill decided to sign him, and if Bill says so, then I love it.
Can I ask a question? Because this question is like, this is a perfect show, right? This is Jock Itch, right?
Yeah.
This is always an itch that I have to scratch because I don't get people's thought process.
Hold on to that thought. Okay. Hold on to that itch.
Okay, I'll hold on.
Don't itch it yet.
All right, hurry
up. I don't want you to itch because I want to play some sound.
Okay.
Okay, which is, to me, to answer your question first, Lou, just there's more evidence that he's more like Brady than he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about the way they look, their personalities, the chips on their shoulders, what they're trying to prove, their competitive nature, everything about them, right? So far, in a short period of time. So, I have another example for you. Because, again, this is me now. I thought he was a dope. And at first, I was like, no, I want nothing to do with him. I don't care how good he is. I don't know if you guys know who Graham Benzinger is. Yeah. Anybody know who he is?
No, I don't, but I heard the interview.
Okay, so he has a show. It's called In Depth. What he does, he's a young kid. He talks to a bunch of different athletes. It's kind of like Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton.
Okay.
But it's sports figures.
All right.
So he's inside an auditorium. This is back in 2015. So Graham, all he does is ask Cam to describe a play that he would call and go through all those dynamics.
Give an example of a play you would call in the huddle versus one that you'd call at the line of scrimmage.
Really? All right, here we go. You want it, right? All right, here we go.
I want it.
I get the play. Here we go. Here we go. We got twins right, key left, 631 smash, shove track, sneak. Hey, alert. Alert now. Listen, Benji, I need you to pay attention now. Because last time you got jammed on the West Coast, if he press you, I'm going to check my hand. If I open palm, that's a fade. If I give you the slant signal, that's a slant. All right, here we go. One more time. We got 631 smash, F-track sneak. I want alert to smash. I want ready.
So what are you saying there?
So, listen, it's twins. What I say, twins left or twins right? It don't matter. So if it's twins right, because the formation may change, you can tomato, tomato, you can run right or you run left. So if it's twins right, usually Benji's my guy. And for all, Benji is Kelvin Benjamin. If it's a look that I like, I come to the line of scrimmage. Usually it's probably 12 to 14 seconds left on the play clock. So you probably get the Omaha, Omaha from Peyton, but you know, usually.
So funny. So funny.
I don't got that in my repertoire yet. So I was trying to call Charlotte, Charlotte. Don't worry about it. So I look to Benji. If Benji has a one-on-one look, I told him I'm open palm for a what? Fade. Or if I wanted to do a slant, I'll give him a. So I'm going to have everybody really wearing their blockers. Oh, Chelsea, he just gave him a fade signal.
Wow.
So
diving deep into the
that's
play.
That's actually kind of funny.
I mean, so there's personality there.
Okay. Yeah.
There's humor there. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a competitive nature. He can easily command a room.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into the room, people are kind of starstruck by it. I can easily understand how and why the NFL was completely enamored with this guy. I mean, he's the CEO face of your organization, and he was for a long period of time until he stopped thinking that his poop stinks. He started thinking too highly of himself, and there was no humility. There was just nothing but arrogance. There was all arrogance,
just
no humility whatsoever.
Scratch my itch.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
So I would say his reputation has been damaged. And I would say that now that you can see that before the arrogance stepped in, creeped in, and you were forced not to like him because all you saw were highlights of him acting like a dink, now you have more evidence of why people loved him and why he signed big contracts, why he was endorsing everything, and why he was winning. So for me, I feel like I was wrong.
But how? Whoa, oh, wait a second. How do you
a
feel
little like, bit?
How do, it's a W word.
How do you feel like you were wrong? Right when that was from what 2015? You said right. So that was from early in his career.
Yeah.
Right. So
he didn't have dreads then.
Right. He didn't have dreads then.
And whatever it is that he's got.
Can I scratch my itch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, can what I scratch my itch?
Drop him and scratch it.
Here's what I don't get. Oh. Why is it that people have a problem with Cam Newton? What has he done that makes you go, oh, this guy's a whatever adjective you want to put in there? Like, what has Cam done besides the female reporter comment, which was in 2017, and then where he didn't jump on the football in the Super Bowl and we kind of looked at him sideways and then after the game go and making business decision? Besides those two things, what has he done for people to be like we heard Steve Burton talk about? He don't have humility. We've seen it over and over and over. Christian, you had issue with him. Off of what? What are you basing this
well,
off?
Well, I don't know. You want to go first, Lou? Well, I mean, you can go first.
Somebody please explain.
Because we both have I have an easy answer for you.
Number one, mm-hmm. Okay, early in his career, he won an MVP.
Yes.
And we have a tendency of when there's MVPs, you know, we start breaking them down.
Okay.
I mean, think of Peyton Manning.
I know, but what are you breaking that? But Peyton Manning, Lou, we never talked about Peyton Manning as being a diva, as being, Burton say?
But let me ask you, like, was there much to dislike about Peyton Manning other than the fact that he was on the Colts? Like, now that we're removed from the Brady Manning kind of mm-hmm. rivalry, was there really a lot to dislike about Peyton Manning?
But nobody ever disliked Peyton Manning, right?
But I'm just saying that's part of it. Number one, he was MVP. And then, you know, and I would say that, you know, when he started looking at, when he started doing this hat thing, you know, and dressing up the way he did.
Wait a second. All right. So you don't like him because he wears hats.
I didn't say that.
No. I'm saying.
Let me finish. But I'll tell you why.
But that's the first thing that's the thing that you bring up. When
you haven't
starts,
even let me finish.
I know. But Lou, I got to first pick a pot. As soon as you say when he does his hat thing, I don't really think whatever.
How about this? Let me
listening.
Finish.
Whatever comes
and
next.
And then I'll tell you.
Okay.
When he wears his outfits and hats, personally, I sat there and said, I almost feel like if you win a ball game, you know, go up there in your outfit and hat. And when you lose a ball game, don't. Go up there in your uni. I think you look like a fool when you play like ass and your team got smoked. And you're up there with your hat and your outfit and everything else, scarves and everything else. I think it's a bad look. Is that it?
Are you still finished? Are you still going, or is there something else that's coming?
So it wasn't about the hat. It was about, hey, when you win, wear your damn hats. Go out there, wear your scarves. But when you lose,
what's the matter? What does it matter how he dresses? Whether they win or lose.
He always said it doesn't matter. That's him. It's who he is.
No, but I'm asking as like I don't have a problem the way with how Tom Brady dresses or it's like people who go, oh, why does Steph Curry bring his kid up there? Like, I don't have a, I don't judge him based on you bringing your kid to the podium after the game, whether you win or lose. I'm not going to judge.
You never made fun of Tom Brady in some of the outfits after a game?
But it's one thing to make fun of a guy, but I've never looked at Tom Brady.
Well, let me go.
Because, right. Lou, I can't really buy into it. I thought
Lou,
of the hats.
I'm surprised Lou said that because I could care less what he wears, but I do have an issue with people bringing their kids.
I didn't like
there.
The
I'm
way
not,
he looked after
I'm not,
a loss.
I'm not there okay. to talk to your kids. My issue is this.
All right, what's your issue?
Okay. I think there's an arrogance about him, and I think there's a poutiness about him that I don't like.
Based on what?
Based on watching him play, based on a play not going the right way, based on the way he talks, his tone, his pacing when he talks, how he sounds.
Did
the
we
woe
not
he's...
see Tom Brady?
Hold on.
Wait a
you
second.
Asked
Did we
me,
not
hold
see
on.
Tom Brady?
You asked me.
I'm
we'll
gonna
talk
stop
about
listening
Tom
to
Brady. We talk about Tom Brady later. I told you, they're no different.
Right.
But I will give you 19 years of Brady never looking like the world just ended. Woe is me. Someone just kicked my dog. With Cam Newton, you saw it all the time. It's more, it's less about the way he plays because he's a competitor mm-hmm. and he's arrogant when he plays. And I like that.
Right.
I like it when somebody says, I know what to play. He says, watch this. I love it. But what I don't like is the poutiness. What I don't like is the fact that I feel like he's the type of guy that when things go bad, he doesn't take the blame. Then when things go good, he wants all the praise. That is another aspect of him that I do not like.
Can I give you another one? And Wiggy, you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, and the routes and everything else, but, you know, the Super Bowl itself, okay, in that fourth quarter, not jumping on the football.
Yep.
And you could sit there and say, well, you know, that's just one time. But if I was to ask you and Red Sox fans what they remember about Nomar Garciaparra,
mm-hmm.
they would tell me pouting in the dugout when Derek Jeter dove into the stands. If I asked people what they said about Dustin Pedroia, they would say, it's not me, it's them. No matter what those guys accomplished in their careers, uh-huh. sometimes, okay, you know, and it doesn't matter. You know, like you're talking about, you know, it doesn't matter about being black or white. You got a Mexican and a white guy. And I'm talking about when one instance that is etched in people's minds and it doesn't go away in a Super Bowl, not jumping on a football, standing there, doesn't go away.
Right,
how
but
he
if you're,
reacted
but
after
if you're
that Super Bowl
it off
doesn't
that,
go
Lou,
away.
Lou, if you were basing it off that, because Christian's basing it off of poutiness, right? But
well, that's part of it.
But
that's not the whole package.
Where are you getting this poutiness from, right?
Wait, do you watch him play?
I watch him play, right?
Skipped that part.
No. Here's Cam Newton himself. Do we have the Cam Newton audio about him talking about maybe where you might see some of this poutiness coming from?
I mean, I've been on record to say I'm a sore loser. Who likes to lose? You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser.
Right. Oh, see, that's such a bogus cop-out excuse for being an ass.
You can't. We
I like to win. So let me pout. If your son brought that bull crap, if your son came to me, I would say, shut up and get out of here.
But
no,
hold on, Christian. Hold on. You're talking about a guy that basically, I got no problem with him saying, hey, listen, I'm a sore loser. Nobody likes to lose. And nobody, we lost to you guys in Super Bowl 38 when I was on Carolina and you, for the Patriots. So people were pouting after that game on the way it ended, right? So I have don't
it's
have an
totally end, different
but
no, though,
no,
Wiggy.
No,
like,
but
you can
I
be sad because
yeah, but
you
no,
lost.
It's not, but you can pout. We heard Tom Brady pout every day on
okay,
the Greg Hill
I'm
show.
I'm sorry. Based on his position mm-hmm. and the role that he plays on a team, I'm sorry. There's an expectation with, but not just with Cam. I don't like the way other rookie quarterbacks come out and they come out in a t-shirt.
So
you are the CEO, the representative of my corporation.
So,
dress accordingly.
So
act
you're
accordingly.
Basing your opinion, you and Lou. Well, your opinion is on his poutiness. Where
no, again, you're pigeonholing into one thing. It's a bunch of things that I witnessed. Now, granted. And I've said this, and I'm on record. All the evidence I have is from what I see watching him play and his post-game interviews. That's it.
Okay.
I've never met him, so I am making an impression, an opinion based on that. But I have also said that based on new information and based on talking to people, I think we're being a little bit too hard on him because we don't know him yet.
See, I think what people here's what people's problem is with Cam Newton, right? And I think the issue that people have with Cam, and I don't get why it's an issue, he plays with a certain type of swagger, he has a certain type of attitude, right? A lot of players have it in the National Football League. Lou, you said it, whether they're black, white, Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican, whatever it may be, whatever your nationality, a lot of people have a specific swagger, right? And they and they have this specific way of how they carry themselves. But to knock Cam because he carries himself in a certain way, or he says, "Hey, show me a person
because it's fake." That's why.
But what makes
it
fake?
It's fake because you don't believe that. I know you don't believe that.
No, I don't know.
No way.
I don't know Cam. All I know is from what I've seen with Cam, like you said, on the field and after games. And for the most part, he's been a model citizen. He's been a guy that
I said the same thing. He's never been arrested. He's never been in the spotlight for something negative.
But that teammates and coaches have been around, and they've never said anything negative in the sense of, like, he's a me-first-only guy. He's a guy that's not here to win. He's a guy that doesn't work in practice.
That's not part of the discussion.
But that should be part of the discussion.
Okay, I have on record saying that all those things are good assets that he possesses.
Right.
He has all those.
But shouldn't that matter more than anything
else? Okay, perception is 90%. Of reality.
So your perception, so your passing judgment on a guy that you see for five minutes after a game.
Wait, guilty.
Wiggie, you're gonna find
what,
out.
How else, what? I don't live in Charlotte.
Right.
KOA Charlotte.
Right. So isn't that kind of a?
But we do it for everybody.
Yeah, but Wiggy,
we don't
that's
do that for
everybody. Yes, we do.
No, that's the point, Christian. You're absolutely
people
right.
With a different type of swag.
No, you're acting like we're judging him for swag. Brady's got swag. Edelman's got swag. The Dola's got swag. All these guys got swag. I mean, Odell Beckham's got swag.
But we're not judging them based on a 5 or 10 minute post game.
But Wiggy, can't you understand that's all we have? So based on this experiment, what do we have? Do you hang out with Cam Newton?
Well, here's what I have. Here's what I know that I have. I know that I've never heard anything from his teammates. From plenty of
me
guys.
Me neither. I never talked to his teammates.
Right. So but I'm saying I never heard anything about him from coaches.
There me neither.
Plenty of coaches that come through and that have coached Cam, teammates that have played with Cam. Never have I heard.
All right, Wiggy. Right, like listen, I understand what you're saying, but let me throw this example out at you, a nice comp, because I never heard a bad thing said about this guy in the locker room by a teammate or a coach, anyone, and his name is David Price. He is a great leader in the locker room. Teammates absolutely love him. Coaches absolutely love him. Former teammates absolutely love him. And I ask you, to Christian's point, what do you know about David Price? What you know is what you've seen. You don't know much about him. But what you've seen from him, what you've heard from him.
Right. So, but listen.
So you make an opinion based on what you see.
I haven't heard that much because we hear a lot of negative stuff from David Price, right? We've heard this over, I could play Fortnite, I could do this.
Fresh cut grass.
Listen, we've heard more negative stuff from David Price than Cam Newton. But my point is that when you say teammates and coaches and everything else, it's very similar.
You're judging Cam Newton off of. What have you seen?
I told you.
No, you didn't tell me, Christian. You just said
games.
He looks pouty.
Listen. You can watch a game, right. Wiggy. Okay, and you can tell if a guy is engaged and feeling sorry for himself or playing up the scenario. That makes me want to vomit. It makes me personally want to vomit.
So you're saying you watch all the games that Carolina plays, and every time
I didn't watch every single game he played because I watched the Patriots games.
When you watch Carolina, what you're telling me is you see Cam Newton 90%
not 90%. Don't invent percentages, Ordway.
So what, 60% of the time?
I would say about 60-40.
40% of the time.
60% of the time you see Cam Newton pouting on the sideline.
I see something that I don't like. I see something that says, and again, I'm not in the huddle with them. I could do this. I don't like some of the things that a lot of guys do when I watch them play. But I have a different I have a different reality and a point of view of what I like to see in a football player.
I see a guy, when I see him play, I see a guy who's engaged in the sidelines with his teammates.
Agreed.
He's engaged with his coaches, right?
Agreed.
He's not sitting off to a side. So if he yells at his teammates, I got no problem with that because that happens with everybody, right? You yell at a guy because you feel like he didn't do the right thing. I've yelled at quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have yelled at me. That's part of it. That's part of the emotion. And then after the game, I see a guy based on, like every other player in the National Football League or any sport, the outcome of the game is going to really determine what type of post-game press conference you're going to get. And so, but I'm not judging him because maybe after a loss, he says, you know, oh, show me a guy.
Super Bowl.
It's Super Bowl. You think we're picking on him.
That's what it sounds
okay,
like.
Okay, no. But I would do it if I watched your games.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if I didn't know you. I could easily form an opinion by watching your demeanor and body language and how you interact
and
your post-game press conference. I would say, all right, this guy's smart. He's got his ass kicked. He lost the game for everybody, yet he's manning up. He's not holding his head down. He's standing proud. And he's like, you know what? We're going to get better. That's what I like to see.
But, Wiggy, I go back to my first thing I said to you, right? Because I think the Super Bowl one is the image. It's just an image.
Right. Okay, I give you that.
I think there's a lot to that. That doesn't go away.
If you want to ride that, I'll give you that.
But the first one I said is the fact that, you know, he was a great player. He's an MVP. He wasn't on your team. That's the reality of it. How many guys around the league, you sit there, I can't stand him. He's going to get an opportunity here in New England now because he's on your team. There's a lot of athletes out there. I can't stand that son of a bitch. And then all of a sudden he comes to your team and you're like, okay, now I like it because he's on your team. I mean, that's just the reality of sports.
Yeah, I understand that element of it, Lou. But when you're going, when you're now going to a point where you're kind of, I don't want to say assassinate because maybe that's the wrong word. But when you're like questioning a person's character based on a post-game interview.
You're
What if the Patriots announced that they traded for Odell Beckham Jr. tomorrow?
Do you think
they have the same reaction and people say, well, it's not fair you judge
him? Yeah, but I don't
look. They'd love him here if he plays
well.
But
I don't look at Odell Beckham where he is in Cleveland and judge Odell Beckham. I look at Odell Beckham, the type of player he is on the field. He looks like, based on what I've seen, he's very compassionate about the game. He looks like he wants to win. He had one situation that I go, Odell, that's not a good look. And that's when he was down in Miami on the boat the Tuesday before the playoff game. Okay?
So you just want me. Okay, we're going to have to break.
Let me go to break.
But this is a good topic. And
we're doing a show here from the live from the Shaw's and Star Market WEI studio. We'll continue to talk about this because we got a lot of people online right now that want to get in this conversation.
But first,
coming up next, we got to talk to the Paisan. We got to talk to Mike Giardi from NFL Network. OMF, we'll do that right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.